Hi, everyone. Before we get started with today's episode, I need to address some recent news. And also, I want to issue a trigger warning for the next minute or two. I'm going to be talking about sexual assault. So, if that's trigger for you, fast forward a minute or two until we get to the start of the episode. So, at the end of February 2020, a woman came forward with the story that alleged that Timothy Hutton raped her shortly after he became famous. I don't want to go into the details here, but the story was originally published on BuzzFeed News. So if you want to read the full account, you can go there and find it. What I do want to make clear here is that we here at Let's Go Steal a Podcast believe the victim and we stand with her. I've discussed this issue with my other co-host, and we honestly did consider just stopping the podcast altogether. But we have, at this moment in time, anyways, decided to move forward. The fact is, we were fans of the show before these allegations broke. We're going to do our best to separate the character of Nate Ford from the actor who played him. And as always, we're going to apply a critical eye to what the show is saying in every instance, just the way that I feel that we have for the past three seasons of the show. But as this story develops, we might need to change this approach. So, and I'll keep you updated if we decide to do something different. And as always, I welcome your thoughts on how we should handle this going forward. Thank you, and let's move on to this episode of Let's Go Steal a Podcast. Welcome back, everybody. I've got Tara with me today. Well, tonight. And we're going to be talking about the Queen's Gambit job, which, let me scroll over to my notes really quick, which aired on August 28th, 2011. It was directed by our good friend and Star Trek alum, Jonathan Frakes. I guess he's not an alum anymore since there's new Star Trek for him to be in. He's back.
A continuing member of Star Trek.
That's right. And it was written by Rebecca Kirsch and M. Scott Veitch. So it's Rebecca Kirsch's second episode that she's gotten the writing credit on, and M. Scott Veitch has been around for a while. But so in this episode, the gang is approached by a sometime nemesis. To go to Dubai and foil the attempts of a Middle Eastern country to get stuff so they can build, nuclear bombs or, just nuclear power. When I was writing up my notes on this, I thought they were talking about Kazakhstan, but they're not. They're talking about an entirely made-up country called Kazakhstan,
Oh.
which at the end you see a news bulletin. We won't say what that is yet, but it says it's like spelled wrong. I was like, oh, I guess they didn't want to offend the people of Kazakhstan, but
Well,
totally.
there's a romantic suspense series that has a country called like Kazbekistan,
Yeah.
and it's, so it's the same sort of idea. Like it sounds like it could be real, but there is not currently a Kazakhstan.
This episode starts out road on the waterfront in Dubai, United Arab Emirates. Nate is in a Ferrari outrunning an SUV, and it's very dramatic. And then he like swerves to a stop right in front of it, and then it has to. And then we flash back to 3 days earlier, and Nate and Sophie are flirting in the bar, reminiscing about Venice. And just as they go to leave, some suits come in and pull some guns on him, and so he can't go. And we see him pour a drink for himself and for somebody else, which is Sterling. It's been a while since we've seen Sterling. He looks wonderful. Love some Mark Shepard all the time, and I hope he comes back for the reboot. Sterling says he's got a job for Nate and he needs a favor. And then they play chess,
which is going to set up kind of the gambit for this episode. And he tells him about Kazakhstan, who is trying to build the infrastructure to enrich uranium. And their prime minister, their president, is saying that it's so that they can power the region, but Nate and Sterling and Interpol are not convinced. And, you know, Sterling's like, oh yeah, no, we're not buying that. That's why we sent a virus last year to knock out their centrifuges. So they're offline. But now Kazakhstan has gotten in touch with the guy who built their centrifuges, who is an expat nuclear engineer named something Livingston. And
Roger?
That sounds right. I have just said Livingston. and he has literally just as Livingston on his IMDb. That's great. He has this one part that they're missing to fix their centrifuges. And Sterling wants them to steal it first before the terrorists basically can buy it. And, you know, Nate's like, well, you're Interpol, why don't you just arrest this guy? But Sterling says by the time they build a case, the government's going to have the material and they'll have built their nuclear reactors. So that's not going to be fast enough. And Nate immediately intuits that Sterling must have someone on the inside feeding them this information. But he's Sterling, so he's obviously not going to give anything away. Though he does have like a little nervous tell with his pawn, and he's like tapping it on the table. And Nate's like, okay, I'm sure that won't be necessary for the plot later.
Nope, not at all.
And then we get Hardison explaining centrifuges and why they're important. And he's like, they spin around and they take the atoms out. I didn't pay too much attention. And Nate's like, oh, it's like a washing machine. He's like, yeah, but not weighted properly, they like mess up. And he's like, oh yeah, so it's like a thumping washing machine. He's like, yeah, when your washing machine wobbles, it goes thump thump. When these wobble, they explode. So it's a little bit bigger of a deal. And in order to keep it steady, it needs this tiny weight that has a precise atomic weight. And like, it's even like the smallest like speck of sand gets on it, it screws it up and it won't work. And there's only one. Livingston has it in his suite in this sky spire in Dubai. So they have to get in there and get it. And their way in is a chess tournament. So Hardison, I love when they get there. Hardison is so excited to see all of these athletes in the prime of their game. And Elliot's like, what are you talking about? He's like, the Olympic Committee recognizes chess as a sport. Elliot is very upset.
Yes, Elliot does not approve.
Which is, you know, so
very, very on brand.
Yeah, totally on brand. And then Sophie like says it's prom for nerds, so that's also very on brand.
Which it is, although I would like to point out that they've been calling the White House press dinner nerd prom, and they're just very different events.
Yes.
Sophie is wearing a fabulous hat in this scene, but like nobody else seems to be dressed up. It's really odd.
People are like dressed up, but like Sophie looks like she's ready to go to the Derby.
Right.
And I like her hat and I like her dress.
Oh yeah.
I like her clutch, but I do not like them together.
It's a lot of look.
And I mean, I understand the hat because you're in Dubai, which is in the desert.
Yes.
Which was actually not shot in the desert. It was shot in Portland. And there are not deciduous trees everywhere in Dubai. But John Rogers was like, no. It looks exactly like downtown Dubai. It's fine. Just don't pay attention. There are a lot of things that I'm like, that doesn't look like, nope, that's not fancy enough. No, that, okay. But I'll buy it. It's fine. So we get to see Livingston at this chess tournament, including his stepdaughter, Olivia, who is a chess prodigy. And he's like, they say, and I like that they didn't say he's obsessed with her. They say he's fixated on her because one of his other buyers was upset about a price and put a car bomb in their car and it exploded. And that's why he walks with a limp. And Olivia's mom died in the explosion and she survived. So they're like, okay, she's going to be the distraction because she's this chess prodigy. And Nate and Sophie, their part of the con is they're going to make sure she wins, like, so she continues all the way through this competition. So he's distracted by that from, so he doesn't see anything else that they do. And Sterling shows up and he's like, all right, so we've got a problem. The guys from Kazakhstan are here. They showed up a week early. So now we have to accelerate our con to get this weight. And they immediately give us what I think is the best pairing of any of this group right now, which is Elliot and Sterling. And I would watch Elliot and Sterling sit in a car and yell at each other for an hour.
Well, I mean, the whole thing is sort of emblematic of the larger picture, which is that every time Sterling shows up, Nate's like, well, obviously we just have to for reasons. And the rest of them are like, do you not remember the 8 other times he screwed us over?
Yeah, every time. Last time we got him a job at Interpol. Oh, I guess it wasn't last time. Last time.
Right.
Yeah. And then the time after that, you had to go to jail, Nate. Come on. Yeah, and I think Elliot takes that even more seriously because his job is to protect everybody, and when he can't protect them from Sterling, you know, and I guess it wasn't the last time, but one of the last times Sterling shows up and, you know, Nate's like, Elliot, I'm going to need you not to overreact. And then he, like, you know, busts one of his teeth out. So having them, and they already hate each other. Or Elliot hates him and Sterling is just like, I'm going to poke this bear. They go to get the Kazakhstan guys off site. So their Livingston doesn't see them. And I love, Sterling's like, okay, this is how we're going to play it. I'm the operations manager and you're my executive assistant. And Elliot's like, sure, executive assistant. And then he goes up and he's like, I'm the operations manager. This is my executive assistant. And, you know, they tell them, we don't think this place is safe. They take them off site and they tell them that there's a mole and to stay here, we're going to do a dead drop and we'll give you the weight later, but don't leave here and don't answer emails and don't answer phone calls because nothing is secure. And then I think he's Cambridge because Livingston's Oxford. And he says, you know, I bought a little trinket, but I don't think that the hotel is safe for it. So Livingston takes him up to his vault room, I guess, to show him, oh, it'll be safe here. And when they get there, there's no keypad, there's no retinal scans. There's no breath one like we had recently in the carnival job. So they're, okay, cool. This is completely unhackable. Yay. Now we're going to get there. But they, before they figure out what the security system is, they're back in their hotel room, which, I don't know, doesn't look posh enough for like a Dubai hotel room.
Yeah, it was, the whole thing looked odd, but I mean
they're in Portland for Dubai.
Well, and it was also a set that they needed for literally that one scene.
Yeah, I mean, and they've got like some drapes and they've got some lanterns,
So they're kind of going for a, you know, Moroccan kind of vibe. Morocco's kind of far away from Dubai, but that's okay. And I mean, gave them enough room to like have Hardison have his whole setup with his computers and everything. And Hardison is explaining to Parker that, and this, I was like trying to write this down so I can explain it, and I don't know. The weight is in this special pressurized box. And like we said earlier, if even a grain of sand gets on it, then it's done. Like the weight is completely thrown off. And they can fool the alarm system in the pressurized case by introducing like another gas that is a slightly different pressure. And that'll give Parker time to grab the weight and put it in their own pressurized little box. So she has to like depressurize it or break the seal, open it, put the weight in it, and then close it before it depressurizes all the way, which is like less than a second. She's like, oh, cool. We still don't know how we're getting in here, like how this man gets into his safe. So it turns out the security system is a weight gate authenticator, which is, I think, kind of brilliant, especially because this man has a weird limp. And, you know, they say, oh, it's like a fingerprint, it's individual, like everybody is different. And I like that also that they made a point of saying it's not the mass of something, but like how the mass of the person is distributed. So like I guess Livingston could gain weight or lose weight, but he's still going to put the mass that he has on his feet in the same manner.
But yeah, I guess too he gets it recalibrated regularly. Because if it's matching both the weight and the gait.
Well, they said, like, it's not the amount of the mass, it's, like, how it's distributed. So I think if Livingston...
They did say that, but they also weighted Parker down.
That's true.
So I felt like it was the combination, not one or the other.
Yeah, I mean, she's definitely much lighter than...
Yes.
So, because that's how she... Spoilers. I love while they're discussing this, Elliot and Sterling come in, and Sterling stands too close to Hardison. He's in the middle of his explanation. He's like, personal space, like back. And Elliot and Nate have this silent conversation between each other where he's just like, I'm going to kill this man. And Nate's like, you cannot kill this man, but I hear what you're saying. And Hardison is tasked with figuring out how to hack this weight gate authenticator by tomorrow, because they've got to get this done by tomorrow. And Nate's like, okay, bye. And then Sterling, they're all like, get out. And he's like, oh, okay, after he says something snarky.
Well, Sterling says, it looks like nothing has changed when Hardison is like, so how am I supposed to figure that out? And Nate's like, that just sounds like a great challenge for you. Tell us tomorrow.
tell me how you did it. I'm going to go get a drink at the bar. I wonder how easy it is to get a drink in Dubai.
I think it's easier if you're a man.
That's true.
But I still don't understand. But I wonder how much, I mean, I do think Nate does just sometimes be like, that sounds like the Hardison part of the plan. Please go on. But I also do feel like some of that was, we're not discussing any more of this in front of Sterling. Like, this is as much as he needs to know. Bye-bye.
And definitely that, but also like Hardison thrives on situations like this.
Right. I mean, yeah.
Give the man some more soda and the evening, and he'll, you know, do that. And play some DDR in the meantime. So the next day...
He happened to have in his bag.
this is, like, in my carry-on always. It's weird. Nate has to... They switch around all of the contestants, or the competitors in this chess tournament, so that Olivia's playing against easier players, and Nate is having to beat all these grandmasters.
Which it seems, I mean, as much as I love this episode, I do feel like there are a lot of parts of it that you just can't look too closely at. But it seems like Olivia would have noticed she had gotten a ridiculously easy lineup.
Yeah, she's like, how did I get seated that I'm, like, you know, playing the worst people? And also, she's a chess prodigy.
Right.
They just, I mean, I know that they just wanted to ensure 100% that she would get to the top. And also, I think all of these people are good chess players. So, you know, it wasn't like she was playing me.
That's true. It
was the Charlie Brown chess set and can barely play. So, but yeah, they're just like, she has to get there because she needs, we need Livingston distracted the entire time, which means that Nate has to cheat because he's okay. Like, Hardison's like, these are grandmasters. And he's like, I've beaten you every time at chess.
Well, and it was interesting because he does say pretty quickly, like, Sophie and I will work on handling it. But then is like, but I won't really need Sophie. And I was like, so what did you actually think Sophie was going to be there to help with if you just... But yes, he does very quickly realize that he will need Sophie's help to beat these people who play chess for a living.
Oh, there you are. There you are. But you came back for a second and then you went away again. So I think I missed a bunch of what you're saying. But I mentioned Hardison saying that Nate wouldn't let him play with Vulcan rules when they play chess together.
Yes. Which, yeah. I mean, it doesn't surprise me that there are Vulcan rules. It sort of surprises me that Hardison thinks that Nate should let him play with Vulcan rules.
Yeah. Oh, wait. Oh, no. I totally forgot to mention the Lord of the Rings reference he makes earlier.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Wait is like the one ring. And Sophie immediately perks up. She's like, ooh, a ring? Which is just like in the last episode when Parker's like, I didn't get to see the emerald. Where are the emeralds? And they're like, no, it's not a real emerald. It's just called the Emerald of the Caribbean. Yeah. So let's do Parker. Oh, yeah, Parker does a French accent. Everybody's doing accents in this episode. And by everyone, I mean Hardison and Parker. And she does a little French accent. She's even got a beret on. And she's taking pictures. And she gets Livingston's weight distribution by making him stand on a box with a camera in it. I don't know. The weight, like a scale.
Yeah, I think it's a weight plate. So it just measured the...
Oh, okay. There you go. And Ellie and Sterling, the thing, this thing that I would watch an entire hour of, are sitting in a car. Surveilling the terrace, and there are Nate tells Elliot that he can't kill Sterling, and Elliot's like, I can't promise that. And Sterling doesn't have the calm, and he's like, what? And he just, yeah, kind of like looks at him out of the car, he's like, don't worry about it, I can't promise not to kill. Okay, this next scene is Nate playing his first chess opponent, who is a Japanese guy who has got headphones on, and he's sleeping in between plays, and he is beating him. And then Sophie comes over and, like, gives him a napkin, like, with a number written on it and lipstick, and then walks away. And the guy immediately, like, throws the game and leaves. Does Sophie go get a, what happened, like, Sophie go hang out with this man now? Like, what happened there? She didn't say, call me now.
Yeah, I mean, again, it's one of those things that, like, if you think too hard about it, it doesn't work because, I mean, I'm sure you could certainly work on the argument. I feel like not a lot of people try and flirt with the grandmasters in the middle of their games. Like,
yeah,
probably an unusual experience. But, like,
yeah,
if you have dedicated your life to chess, I like you could be like, look, I'm gonna have him in like 3 moves. This will be 5 more minutes and I'll be there.
Well, the game itself is 5 minutes, right? Like they have the timer.
It's 5 minutes per turn.
Okay. Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Okay.
So you have 5 minutes to make each move, basically.
Okay. That's what I thought originally, and then for some reason something confused me, and I was like, oh, it must be like the whole round can only take 5 minutes, and that's why they're like pop, 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 pop.
I mean, they seem like they are taking 5 minutes at the rate, because I was also like, the size of the board that they put up, like, it seemed like it should have been a multi-day chess tournament.
Yeah.
Not a thing that got knocked out in an afternoon.
Yeah, that's why, I think that was also why I was like, well, this must be, like, really fast. They must only have 5 minutes a game, because there's no way they could get done with this. And it wasn't even an afternoon. It felt like it was very short, which, you know, TV magic. Because Parker still has to, like, figure out how to walk in these shoes. But first, Sterling and Elliot are arguing about who killed JFK, and, like, and it's just the best debate, because Elliot's like, I didn't say that it was two different gunmen. I just said he was shot twice. And Sterling gets so angry. He's like, you understand that this thing that nobody can agree on, you are saying the one thing people can agree on is wrong. And he's like, I can do it. I did it. All the while, Elliot's complaining that this coffee that Sterling has brought him is bad.
And yet he keeps drinking it.
I mean, I have done that where you like stop on a road trip to like get coffee at a gas station and you're like, this is disgusting. But you're driving and you're like, every time you take a sip, you're like, oh, that's right. Well, 20 minutes later. Oh, God, no.
He sniffed it at one point because he's like, what did you do to the coffee? What did you do? And but he keeps drinking it.
Yeah. And he says, your file says you crawled 3 miles through a sewer to assassinate the prime minister of Cambodia or something like that, but the coffee is bad. You're complaining about the coffee. And Elliot says something great about, you know, you'd be surprised what people can do when they're properly motivated. And then the Kazakhs get a call, and Elliot wants to get the parabolic thing so they can hear them. And Sterling's like, no, I'll just read the lips. But they're speaking in Arabic. And he's like, he parrots back the, you know, amazing what people can do when they're motivated. And he reads their lips with the binoculars, even though they're speaking in Arabic, which is wild. And
although, you know, I have questions about that. I mean, not to get too far ahead. Do we know that Sterling actually provided the correct information? Or did Sterling just say what he wanted Elliot to think?
That's such a good point. Because he says that in the lip reading that they don't care. They're going to go through with the sale. And they're going to get the money through the tunnels. And then they're going to meet Livingston upstairs after the tournament. Yeah. One, I do believe that Sterling can do something as ridiculous as lip read in Arabic. But that is like, no, I think you're 100% right. I think he fucking lied about that. Yeah. Woo! Tara, very nice. I love that. So Elliot wants to head them off in the tunnels, and then Sterling just like mansplains him and says the exact same thing but in different words. And he's like, I just said that. This is really nice. And Hardison, now we get this, like, the beginning of the DDR scene. Hardison gives Parker her very heavy boots that have tons of ball bearings in them. They weigh 50 pounds a piece, which, holy cow, that are going to mimic Livingston's weight distribution. And then now she has to learn how to walk with his gait. So he gets up the DDR mat, and she's like, "What do you like this?" Yeah, she's like, "Do you like this?" And he's like, "No, it's for cardio. It's nothing."
I mean, it is for cardio.
It is just good cardio. I'm horrible at DDR. So bad at it. I would do two arrows and I would have children sit at the other arrows and hit them with their hands. I hacked the game.
I mean, that makes much more sense than trying to reprogram the DDR to match a gate and gate authenticator.
Yes. And he's like, oh, I couldn't get the sounds. I couldn't kill the sounds. So you have to hear the DDR sound. Meanwhile, Nate is playing another chess player who is this very stressed out, like, Russian guy or Eastern European guy. And Sophie keeps distracting him by flashing her compact and, like, somehow blinding him. And he just, like, is already tightly strung and just loses it and, like, is yelling at the moderator and gets kicked out. But he's taken away and Nate wins. So then he gets to play the next one. And he's kind of like, you know, Sophie, I'm pretty good at this game. Like, you could let me play. She's like, nope. We can't take the chance. And we go back to Parker, who's super frustrated, which I would be as well. Like, I would lose my mind wearing shoes like that. I would also break my ankles wearing shoes.
Well, and she's also, I can't remember if she's wearing it in this scene too, but later she also has a vest on to help make up the weight. So, like, it's not just, I mean, the boots is a lot, but it's like her whole body is weighted down and it's just really hard to operate like that.
Yeah, especially when you're used to being like fast, and she says this, like being quick and light, and if she's not quick and light, she's dead. Like, right. That is the life that she's lived since she, you know, was a foster child.
Right.
Like, this is how she survived. And she's kind of having like this meltdown. And Hardison reassures her. He's like, you know, you had to be like that because you were by yourself, but you're not alone anymore. You've got the team and you have me. And then he's like, all right, come on, it's easy, it's like dancing. So you remember when we took out Duberman at the reunion job, and he lets her step on his toes,
which seems like a bad idea when she has pounds of weight in her shoes,
right? And she's like, on your toes? He's like, yeah, I got it. I'm like, he's hopefully wearing steel-toed boots, I don't know. Yeah. So when they're dancing around, he is like humming just this like little wordless tune to her. And in the commentary, because Aldous Hodge is usually there for the commentary, he was so embarrassed by this. Like, this is a guy who, like, earlier in the season, they buried him in a coffin. And he was like, yeah, that was great. I'm not claustrophobic. It's wonderful. Or like, he does all these stunts and he's like, oh yeah, look at me, I'm so cool. But when he hums twice in this episode, he was like, oh God, I hate it so much. And his humming is not bad. I think it is weird to hum, but And he kind of like spins her out, and then she like walks back to him, and she's got her eyes closed, and they like their noses touch, and it's like this almost kiss moment, and it's so good. It is so good. And it's intercut with Nate beating other people and moving up in the semifinals. And then we cut to Elliot and Sterling, who are coming in through the tunnels or the basement, and they're in the server room. And Elliot's like, are you sure we have to come in this way? And Sterling says, yeah, this is the only entry, which makes no sense, Elliot. And then Elliot like realizes something is wrong. And he tries to punch Sterling, and Sterling just like leans back out of the way. And he hits the ground, and Sterling's like, yes, I did put something in your coffee. And you're like, damn you, Sterling, not again.
Right.
Ugh.
Although, again, well, I guess differently. I mean, I think Elliot, you know, when he's had some time to process this, should consider this the compliment that it is. That Sterling was like, the only way I will be able to pull off my con of the team is if Elliot is just completely neutralized.
That's true. That's true. Like, I couldn't do anything if he wasn't drooling on the ground in the basement. locked in to a key locked place.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to make him feel better, though.
No, I mean, probably not.
Small comfort, cold comfort. But it's something. It's something. To hopefully stop him or slow him down in his hunt to track him down and kill him later. And Parker is, I don't understand why, making her way to the elevator in the shoes. I'm like, put them in a rolling suitcase and roll them to the elevator bank.
The first plate is actually in the elevator.
Well, I know, but she's like walking down the hallway.
Oh, yeah.
Towards the elevator. I'm like, put that on a dolly. Like, we don't have time for this. But Nate says, you know, well, okay, this is also why I thought that the game was 5 minutes, because Nate says, I can give you 5 minutes at the most to get in and out. And maybe that's also because he knows Olivia's going to beat him very quickly.
Yeah, he didn't, I mean, not that I thought that Sophie was going to be able to pull any of her tricks in the finals, but, yeah, he didn't, I mean, well, so if I had been in charge of trying to take down an entire squadron of chess masters, I would have had somebody in charge of learning chess and speaking in my earpiece. Like, that seemed like the most obvious solution.
Because Hardison's good at chess, like, he could have been, like, art and, like, looking up different things.
Well, and I recognize that, like, Hardison needed to be monitoring a bunch of things for this. And so, like, and plus Nate, until 5 minutes into his first game, thought that he just had this in the bag. But yeah, like, it really didn't even seem like he tried very hard at all to, like, once he made it to the finals with Olivia, he was kind of like, yeah, we're out of our tricks, so, like, it's it's gonna end.
Yeah. Do you know what would have been interesting if Sophie had used her, like, understanding of human nature to be like, oh, you know, all of life is like a chess game, and I can, this person's personality is going to do, they're going to do this. But they've always set up Nate as being the chess master. So I think having someone else be better than him at it, I think would, even though, like, the chess that we're always talking about with him is, like, you know, four-dimensional, like, real-world chess, I think having somebody on the team be like, oh, yeah, he'd do so well. So Hardison, just at this point, notices that Elliot's been off the comms for 9 minutes, which in terms of a con is a year. But he was busy dancing with Parker, so who can blame him? And
we all know he's paying far closer attention to what's happening with Parker at any given time.
True. And, like, Elliot can take care of himself, right? So, now it's time for Nate to go into the final round of this chess tournament, and Parker manages to get on the elevator successfully, like, and Elliot wakes up with a crushed earpiece so he can't get in touch with anybody, and Sterling has gotten up to the chess tournament, and he grabs Zangrief, and he shows him the mirrors, or he says, I have something to show you, and we know that he shows him the mirrors that Sophie used to distract them. And Parker, it's so weird trying to explain these things because it cuts to things so quickly. So you're just like, this person does this, this person does this, this person does this. But Parker is up in the vault and she's kind of hit this mental block and she needs Hardison to hum the song for her again. And he's just like at his computer, like swaying back and forth, humming a song. And it's so sweet. And she's like walking forward. And then I really love this, and I wish we'd kind of seen more, because this is the first time we really see Olivia talk. Nate is whispering to Sophie and the team, to Sophie in his earpiece, like, don't take any unnecessary risks, because she starts to get out her mirror. And Olivia hears him and she's like, what? And he tells her that he thinks that she's taking some unnecessary risks. So then, you know, we get to see her kind of be cocky, because before she's just kind of standing around looking uncomfortable, and she's just this like sweet little blonde girl.
Well, and she clearly doesn't get along with her, with Livingston, and it's unclear how much of that is just this ridiculous security that he's put in place, which obviously would be oppressive for anyone.
Yeah.
To say nothing of, you know, a teenager. So, but yes, you're right. We're finally getting to see some of her personality.
Yeah. Which I think also is important, that we don't really know much about her until like this really tense moment, because, you know, she's like, if I didn't want to take risks, I would play checkers. And then she kind of goes on this thing like, my dad taught me, and Nate looks towards Livingston. She's like, no, that's my stepdad. Like, my real dad taught me how to play to win. Like, Livingston taught me how to play chess, but my dad taught me to play to win. And, you know, he told me not to fear. And she taps her pawn against the desk, and Nate's like, and then Parker's right boot throws up some ball bearings. And I really love, like, Hardison saying, hey, Parker, something is weird with the weight on your right shoe. And she's like, oh, nothing's wrong. And then it all goes, and she goes, Parker, what's up? That sounded like a lot of ball bearings. And she's like, mm-hmm. He goes, is that a lot of ball bearings? Mm-hmm. And then he has to scramble to, like, figure out what she can do. The ball bearings themselves are light enough that they're not going to set anything off. But if she moves in these shoes with ball bearings on the ground, she's going to eat it.
Also now the weight is off, right?
Yeah.
So yeah. She can no longer continue forward, and she can no longer get in the elevator to get back out, because now it's all off.
Yeah, so he's scrambling to figure out what she can do, but even before it cuts away from her, she's already, you can see like the beginnings of a grin on her face. But she's like, oh, I'll take care of this. And then Sophie's caught. Zangrief comes over and he's like, this is the tape, you have a mirror. And the way that she reacts here leads me to believe that this was part of the plan all the time as well. Because she's like, I don't know, he's crazy. I don't know if he's talking about, that's not mine. Like, the compact, why would she not have a compact in her purse? Like, these are things that I believe Sophie can talk her way out of quite easily.
Yeah, Sophie would have been able to talk herself out of this had that been her intention. So yes, I agree with you that I think Sophie getting caught was part of their expectation.
Okay, good. I was like, this is horrible. Why, Sophie, what? No.
Which might also be why Nate was saying it was only going to be 5 minutes, because if they were planning on Sophie getting caught, then, you know, they were basically going to start to lose players.
Yeah, that's so true. So they're all running out of time, because, you know, we've got that 5 minute window. Sophie's been caught. And the game is literally running out of time as well. Nate sacrifices his queen, like he moves her into play, and Livingston tells his assistant, oh, it's a trap, because this guy has just beaten several grandmasters to get up here. He's not going to just sacrifice his queen like this. And it throws Olivia off for a minute. Isn't the lack of, like, there was weight here and now there is no weight here, would that not set off the alarms?
It really seems like it should, yes.
And also, it must have been a lot harder to hoist her up there with these heavy boots, but they're not, she's still parallel to the ground. That's fine. It's fine. Uh, Hardison. Okay. She's like, Hardison, did my elevator just close? My exit? He's like, yeah. But she continues on, and she has the pressurized gas that he gave her, and she inserts it into the tubing. And Olivia wins the chess match. And she looks so excited. She's like, good game. And he's like, it is a good game. Also, like, it was a good game. Come on. And then Sterling, once the elevator gets down to the ground floor, steps onto the elevator, setting off the alarm with his not Livingston weight and gait. And he does all of this just so, like, just like casual, like, he's such a little shit. He
really is.
Loki. He's like the trickster god of leverage.
He is. Yes.
Stirring the pot, making everything difficult. And when he triggers the alarm, it goes off everywhere and people start running out of the room where the chess tournament's happening. And Nate's like, all right, I gotta stall everyone. And the Kazakhstan guys have come in the room as well. And he saw them when he was in the tournament. And he, like, runs up and punches Livingston in the face. And then the terrorists, like, immediately pull guns on him. And you're like, oh, shit. But then Elliot shows up. And he punches him. And he is grumpy because he had to take a nap. And sometimes you're grumpy when you wake up from a nap. And Parker's still stuck up in the vault. And they've sent the elevator back up to her, and it's gonna go straight up to the top of the building. So she straight up pries the elevator doors open and jumps down on top of the elevator. When I was writing up my notes,
which also seems like it would be really hard to do in weighted boots, but sure,
she can go straight through, bam. When I was writing up my notes on this, my family had called me and they were like video chatting me. But at one point I wasn't paying attention to them. I had the episode still going just on mute. And just when Parker like jumped off and hits the elevator, one of my sisters like just lit up this blood curdling like scream. Like as she was jumping, I was like, whoa. But yeah, I love she like pries open that elevator door, and she's said before she has really strong finger like grip. Nate manages to get down to the ground floor just in time to see Sterling drive off in an SUV, and a guy in a Ferrari pulls up to the valet, and he just climbs right in this guy's car and just peels out. When Elliot and Hardison like meet each other down in the lobby, he's like, where have you been? And then Elliot hugs Hardison.
Totally does. And then he pushes him away.
Like, what are you doing?
he like hugs him and then like tries to take it back. Like, you hugged me. Stop it.
And Hardison's like, what? I accepted your hug. Yeah. It was like instinct, like, oh wait, no. I can't show you that I care about you. It's just so good. And he was like, hey, I bet you wanna punch some bad guys. And Ellie's like, you deserved that hug, after all. You earned it. And they go to break Sophie out of just like the office. So she's just standing in this office like with her purse, just like da 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 da.
Well, which is the other thing, that back to your theory that they plan for her to get caught. She's not remotely concerned that she's been confined in this room, and they show up and she's like cool, and she even says you know, like when Hardison tries to be like he got drugged, he's a little grumpy, and she's like, oh, I can wait if you need to punch more people, it's cool.
Not in a hurry, it's fine. And Ellie's like, I'm good, I got it, that was enough. The floor carpeted and unconscious people is enough for me for now. He's just working for that anger. I love it. And then we get to see our car chase again. Again, not up to the Fast and the Furious, which Fast and Furious 7 took place in Abu Dhabi. Oh. Just an hour away from Dubai, you know. if you want some car chases, that they like drive through a building, through a skyscraper, through another skyscraper, and somehow don't die. And the skyscraper is like, if this is like 100 floors, oh my God, I almost threw up. Okay, and I was just watching it on my television. Anyways, I got really into the Fast and the Furious franchise, as you probably saw on Twitter. But Parker's still stuck on the roof, and she's like, I didn't bring a chute with me. Like, there's no way down for me because they're coming up. And Hardison's like, oh, check your backpack. And he put a chute in there for her, which is great because, you know, she's not alone. Like, he's got her back. And actually, in the original script, Sterling puts the chute in her backpack, I guess, because he knew that he was going to screw them over and he didn't actually want her to get caught. So he's going to give her an exit strategy. But they had to reshoot some scenes or like add some scenes in. And they were like, no, I think it's better. Because that kind of like really, that's like a very important emotional beat in this episode. That when he said he had her back, he really meant it.
Yeah.
But
he's like, CDR, Matt. There's no way he didn't pack her a chute.
But she's got this chute now, but she's like super far up, so she can't base jump, and she's not heavy enough like for the wind shear. But he's like, Parker, look down. And she's got these weighted shoes on. She's like, oh, yeah, this is great. And then she's like jumping off this building, and she's so happy. She's like, this is the best con ever. This is better than when we saved Santa Claus. And then
Hardison's like driving around in the van, and he keeps leaning out the window. He's basically waiting to watch her jump off the building so they can circle around and just pick her up.
Yes, I love it. Like when you're not outside of the school, when your mom drives up and she's got to lose. And then we have the Nate and Sterling showdown. And, you know, Sterling gets out and he's trying to say, oh, I had to get this, Olivia was the informant, I had to get her out or it was going to be dangerous. And Nate's like, I'm not an idiot. Like, I figured out she was your daughter pretty early on. And he's like, how did you know? And he's like, well, you were very, very clear about it. She's his stepdaughter. You don't care about people, Sterling. Like, you wouldn't. That was personal. And
well, he also calls Sterling Jim.
Nice.
In this moment. Like, they're connecting on a different level.
Yeah, because he's like, Jim, why did you never tell me you had a daughter? Like, he's like, you know, it wasn't important to the case. But he's like, no. I mean, when we were friends, because we were friends for a long time. And it all goes back to, like, he was the reason his wife left him and he wasn't in his daughter's life. And it was his fault. Sterling doesn't like to lose, and he definitely doesn't want other people to see him having lost. And then I think it's really sweet that Olivia like jumps out of the car and is like trying to reason with Nate. Like, you know, it's not safe here. Like, wouldn't you do this for your kid? Like, it's just what a father would do. And she probably doesn't know about Nate's history, but it gets him right there. He's like, okay.
Well, and I felt like, because it was one of the first time I rewatched it, I was like, well, why wouldn't Sterling have just pulled the it's my kid card? Because, like, that's the easiest way you get Nate on board.
Right.
And I felt like Sterling was intentionally holding that back because he's like, I just, that would be a bridge too far for me to play on that, even though it would have worked. Like, and so I feel like
too low
on Sterling's face when she says, wouldn't you do it for your kid, that he's kind of like,
man, I'm gonna
I was trying not to say that. Like,
yeah. Oh my God, is that like a nice thing about Sterling?
I know. I mean, like, he still screwed them over in Drunk Dad later. Like, it's only a little bit nice.
Yeah. just one glimmer. But that's a good point, because he could have just been like, hey, well, but also, like, they would have been like, you have a secret child.
I mean, yes, they would have had to have that conversation, and it would have been uncomfortable for Starling to reveal a feeling.
Yeah. No, I love that. I think that's a great point. Yeah, and, you know, Nate's like, well, why did you come to me in the first place? And he says, because you're the best thief I've ever seen, and I couldn't risk anything less. And, like, I love, like, Olivia kind of like, my dad. And we, there's, like, a flashback to him getting her, like, the security detail, like, puts her in the closet. Maybe that's a little later on. That we see the flashback, but they put her in this closet and he's there waiting for her, and you kind of, and so Nate, you know, there was never any question that Nate was going to let him go. Like, one, he doesn't have any way to keep him.
Right.
He's not, doesn't have a weapon on him. He just wanted answers, but, you know, at the beginning, Sterling said, I'll owe you a favor if you do this for me. So he has takes a piece of paper out of his pocket and has the name on it, and I'm guessing it's the name of the dude who's been tracking him, who's, I just forgot it again.
Is it Latimer?
Yes, thank you. Every co-host who comes on has to remind me that it's Latimer. I'll remember one of these days. He's a pretty good deal. But yeah, he's like, it's him calling in a favor, but it's also him doing Sterling a favor. Because he says, if you know, tell me everything you can find out about this name, and I'll make sure Elliot doesn't know where to find you.
Yeah, no, I, because Sterling tries to be like, and then I won't owe you a favor, right? And Nate's like,
this is me doing you a favor. And we see Livingston getting his money for the wait, like the Kazakhstani people have their briefcase, and he's like, all right, yay. And then it flashes, which is kind of like, oh, well, now the bad guys have won. Like, Sterling got what he wanted, but at the expense of there's another bomb in the world. And we're back in the bar, and everyone's having Chinese food, and Elliot's not happy. But he's like, I can't let him get away with this. No, but Parker's like just super satisfied that she's like, I got to jump off a building that was like 8 buildings on top of each other. But, you know, Sophie's like, but we lost to Sterling again. Like, that's horrible. And Nate's like, yeah, but it was for his kid. Like, what would you do as a father for your kid? And then he's also like, but who says we lost? And he pulls out his little, like, iPad, and you see that, this is when you see that there's a typo, like, it's not a typo, but it's not Kazakhstan, and it's an explosion of this plant, and then you get a flashback to Nate putting, like, a handful of salt into the pressurized gas thing that Parker used, and you see, as she's inserting it, like, a little tiny speck of salt lands on the weight. And so when they use it explodes. But, you know, in this third rewatch, when I'm, like, watching everything super closely, it occurred to me, I was like, they blew up this plant, which means people died, which means they are murderers. And then so I rewound it, and I paused it on the scene, and on the ticker, it says no casualties reported.
Oh, there we go.
Because, like, that's too dark.
Yeah, it's a lot.
So, yeah, and it says something else, too, but it was, like, no casualties run. I'm like, okay, cool.
And yeah, we assume that because they were still working on the uranium, nothing's radioactive yet, so it's all fine.
There we go. Perfect. Didn't even think about that. Whoa. Yeah. And, you know, so Nate's like, Sterling wanted to hire thieves that could cause a distraction so he could get Olivia out, but he wanted smart enough thieves that they'd be able to foil the terrorist plans, like, no matter what happened. And Sophie's like, so the salt was plan B. And he's like, oh no, it was plan M. Hardison's like, I thought I died in plan M. Which is that great callback to the first episode. Nate's like, usually, yeah, but not in this one. And then he's like, so which place do I die in? He's like, C, D, M, and M through Q. And he goes, C, that's really early on. And he's like, when does he die? And Nate's like, Elliot, no. Parker, no. And then he like points to Sophie and he's like, and yeah, whatever. And then they go off onto like little tangents and everyone's yelling. And he goes, oh, there is a plan where Elliot gets a scar from his temple down his eye. And then Elliot and Parker like go off on this little tangent about how cool he would look with the scar. And she's like, oh, you could get an eye patch and then we could do this thing with the eye patch. And then she goes, at the very end, I didn't catch it this last viewing, she goes, to glass eyes! And like, there's a toast. And Sophie's like, he's planning my death! That's so creepy! I love it. Which reminds, I said earlier in the commentary, Mark Sheppard, you know, he does all these callbacks to like, oh yeah, I'm the two horse job when I first show up and all these things. And when they're watching this last scene, he's like, oh yeah, it's just like in The Wedding Job, which he was not in, because at the end of that, they're like at the Italian restaurant and they're all eating together as a family. And he just like referenced this episode he wasn't even in from the first season. Just like, Mark Sheppard loves leverage. That's really so great to me. I love it so much. And that's the end of Queen's Gambit Job. I love it. Do you have any other thoughts on it?
Yeah, this is probably one of my more favorite Sterling episodes, just because Sterling does always win, but at least this time I felt like he had a good reason for screwing them over.
Yeah. His,
And also, I enjoyed his fight with Elliot enough that it made up for a lot of things.
Yeah, as much as he, like, drives me crazy because I don't like it when the team doesn't win 100%, I'm also like, he's just good. It's just fun to have an antagonist like that sometimes.
Yeah.
And the stakes are high, but they're not life and death high.
Right. So, yeah. And he probably would have rescued them if they'd all end up in jail, kind of. A little bit or something.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, knowing that in an alternate timeline he put a chute in Parker's bag really makes me think like, oh yeah, he would have pulled some strings or like looked the other way as they got out. So do you have a heist light?
I do. So I was looking to see if there were any chess heists. And I found that apparently back in December, some guy tried to rob a bank using a chess piece. So he basically called the bank and said, I'm coming to rob you. Right, which was, you know, the first flaw in the plan. I'm coming to rob you and you will know me because I will have a chess piece in my hand and you will give me the money or I will kill all the hostages I have. And so he showed up with his chess piece. And,
which chess piece was it?
Oh gosh, that's a really good question. I don't remember the answer. And the teller managed to stall long enough that he started to get nervous. And so he basically like ran out of the bank without any money and was arrested like later that day and did not appear to have hostages. So let's see if it says what piece it was. It just says chess piece in the article. It doesn't say which one.
Okay.
Perhaps he was not specific because he just assumed nobody else was showing up at the bank that day with a chess piece.
True. He just grabbed a random one out of the box.
But yeah.
That's wild. So, yes.
I mean, I suppose we should be grateful that he has not watched enough Leverage to concoct a more complex plan.
Right? Unlike my high slight, which I started looking at chess ones, but I couldn't find any, so, like, kudos to you. So I was like, oh, Dubai heist. There's got to be some crime in Dubai. There was one, and I suggest everybody go look this up, this Pink Panther jewel robbery at this, like, mall that was in 2016, I believe, which was fascinating. There's, like, security footage of them, like, driving cars through a door into the mall and then, like, busting into the jewelry store, which is really cool. But then I found this one that was like, whoa, this one is very, very topical. So in this one, which happened in September of 2019, two guys posed as Interpol officers in a Dubai heist. So they approached this, there were two Emirati guys, so from the Emirates, who are on trial, or were on trial at that point, accused of posing as Interpol officers to kidnap a man and steal 1.7 million dirham, which is the currency there, from him. The victim was this 33-year-old Indian guy who was walking around with a black bag with 1.7 million dirham in it. He says the money was for my company, but they came to him, showed him badges, told him they were from Interpol, and put him in the backseat of a car, and where there was another man in the car with him too. And they told him he was arrested, and he texted one of his colleagues, and they took him to a villa in Abu Dhabi, like an hour away, that was like still under construction, and like made him sit on the ground, and like they questioned him and talked about what was in the bag. But then they were like very quickly arrested. But I'm just like, what? Interpol? Sterling's Interpol? It was perfect.
I know, it's so scary.
But also, I feel like walking around with that much cash is also kind of shady.
Well, I mean, it could have been for payroll or something. I mean, there are.
Yeah. Anyway, there was a high slate back in like season two, I think, that was something similar in Japan. But I, thank God, do nothing with that kind of money, because Jesus, that's a lot of responsibility.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's why you immediately text your coworkers and like, look, I swear I'm not stealing the bag.
Yeah, I've
just
been
arrested by Interpol. I don't know why.
Yeah.
Woo!
That's my high flight.
Yeah. But we can talk about the reboot.
No, the sigh is not for the reboot is very exciting, but it feels like a big giant tease because they think they're filming in July.
That's true. Bless their hearts.
Right. So I read that and was like, oh, that's, I mean, scheduling will not be a problem in July. That part is true.
They'll be able to get Beth, they'll be able to get Aldis, they'll be able to get Christian, but they won't be able to film.
Yeah, I just listened to the It's Been a Minute with Sam Sanders has been doing a lot of like, I think he basically decided like, my listeners do not need more news, they need other shit. Yeah. like we have 22 podcasts that are covering the news, which is all coronavirus, and so he's just been kind of going like off book for a lot of his episodes. Which is funny because I usually save his episode and listen to it like the following week because I can only handle so much news in a week.
Right.
But he just did one where he talked to like three different folks in Hollywood about like what's happening and what does this mean and where are we going to see the gaps? Because of course, right now, like broadcast is normally wrapping up, and streaming services like Netflix usually have all the episodes in the can before they even announce anything. So, so all of that stuff, like, it, you know, it's all continuing on as normal, and you won't notice anything. And they were like, but here's what should be happening now. Like, they should be filming all of the pilots for the fall season right now, and they're not. And one of the things that they were seeing is that from the movie side, like, probably smaller movies will be able to go back first, because, you know, they were like Avengers, you need 300 people in a giant soundstage.
Yeah.
To film one 35-second scene of somebody flying. Like, you just,
right,
you know, so you can't do that in a socially distant manner. And that, but that nobody really, like, there's a lot of people talking about what could or could not happen, but they don't know if it'll turn out that stuff that needs to be filmed in sound stages makes more sense than stuff that needs to be filmed not on sound stages, you know, like. So it's just,
yeah,
a lot of logistics.
I know. But, I mean, we've waited 10 years.
I mean,
we need to wait a little longer.
Very true. Well, and the other thing is, I feel like it'll end up being, you know, like, the writer's strike was a big thing that, like, changed the way, like, a lot of things changed solely because of the writer's strike that, like, would or wouldn't have happened without it. And I feel like we're heading towards that, and we just don't know what that's going to mean. But it probably does mean that reboots where, you know, the theory, particularly because they said very specifically, like, it's being rebooted because so many people streamed it.
Yeah,
that, you know, so,
which
I think other reboots, even just because it's going to seem like a less risky choice. So I think we're just going to see we might see a lot more reboots. Like, I know we were hoping we were heading out of reboots.
I know. Well, yeah, I think that's totally true. So maybe this pause will help all the writers, you know, like, plan an arc for the season and, like, what they want each of the characters to do, so they're not having to write concurrently with the show coming out and being filmed, which with Leverage I don't think has ever really been an issue. But I know, like, you know, like, shows like Lost, they're like, we're doing it episode to episode, we didn't really know what the smoke monster was gonna be, and so they can really make every beat count.
Yeah,
and I'm so intrigued. Who do you think Noah Wiley is going to play?
Yeah, I don't have a clear answer on that, although it seems like clearly they are missing a chess master, basically.
Yeah. But, I mean, they framed it, like, not to spoil the end of the series, because we will be watching all the way to the end, but they frame it so that the three are running Leverage. So, like, they are the chess masters themselves, like Parker, especially, and Hardison. So I wonder, like, part of me is like, is he going to be, like, the antagonist? Is he going to be, like, a Sterling, or, you know, like, the big bad? Because I love Noah Wiley, but I can see him as, like, the white collar, like, CEO. Well,
you wonder if he's like, okay, I'll only come back, but only if I get to be bad this time.
Yeah, I've never been a bad guy. I've only, you know, save people in the emergency room, save people from aliens, save people from weird book items. Oh, I love Noah Wiley. It's very exciting. Yeah, and I wonder also,
if I rewatched the pilot episode of ER, and I suspect part of this may be age difference, but, like, my recollection was that when I first watched the pilot episode of ER, I thought he was just the most adorable little intern ever, and that Dr. Benton was just the biggest meanie, and that, you know, and I remembered that, like, later Benton was revealed to have a heart and a soul and all of that jazz. And I rewatched the episode, and, like, he shows up and they're like, do you know how to do a suture? And he was like, I think. And you're like, ugh. And I was totally on Benton's side. I was like,
they're like, oh no.
They have sent that useless intern who knows nothing.
You're like, I'm with Benton. Get him out of here. That's
Yeah, Tara, tell people where they can find you on the internet. I am on Twitter a lot, at Tara, TARATLK.
Yeah, you want to see it again, but you hear it again for the experimental job. Thank you for being on here. It's Will Down.
Thank you for having me.